Members, we'll start on this full council meeting of Thursday, the 7th of September. And the first item is my notices, which are on page 5 of your agenda. They relate to the sound recordings of the meeting, what to do in the event of a fire. And I have to advise you about the different levels of flooring in the council chamber, so that no one trips or falls. And finally, to advise you that the meeting is being monitored and recorded by closed circuit television. The next item is apologies for absence, please, Chief Executive.
Thank you, Chairman. We have apologies this evening from Councillor Mrs. Acevedo, Councillor Miss Beale, Councillor Durham, Councillor Mrs. Elliott, Councillor Elliott, Councillor Helm, Councillor Perlman, and Councillor Mrs. Thompson.
Thank you. Any other apologies? Right, we now move to item 3, which is the minutes of the meeting held on the 29th of June, which I will go through very quickly. And they start on page 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 and 13. Councillor Savage.
Chairman.
Can you swing your microphone round, please, so that it can be heard?
Chairman, these minutes are accurate as far as they go.
Well, that's fine.
But...
well done. Next business.
But I declared a non-pecuniary interest, and my reasons for the pecuniary interest were to this item and were not recorded.
Oh, dear.
And that is that as a single person, which is correctly stated in my declaration of interest, it's because I argued that single bedroom properties are antisocial and shouldn't happen. And this application was to increase the number of dwellings.
I
have to say.
Well, if you wish to have these minutes amended, you need to give me the page and the minute number.
Right.
I'm not just going to make a statement about it.
It's page 13.
Right.
It's minute 214.
Thank you.
And my declaration of interest to reason was as a single person, I spoke against having single bedroom properties.
So where do you want that added in? Before we start the debate or before the resolution or what?
I think it should be before the leader of the council proposed for approval.
Okay. We'll have that done for you.
Thank you.
Councillor Boyce, did I see your hand up?
Chairman, it would have been better under minute 211, declaration of interest.
Well, I don't think he made it then.
It's quite clearly he declared an interest because he was single.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is expanding.
Councillor Savage, are you prepared to go to minute 211 on page 8?
I am indeed.
Right, and you want a little bit more put in about what you said after that minute?
I'm quite happy to that, yes.
Thank you. Right, we'll arrange that. Right, can I go on, please? I think we've got to 14. Accept those minutes. Is everyone happy? Thank you. Right, now the next one is the minutes of the 13th of July, and you'll find these on page 15. I'll go through them quickly. Page 15, page 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28 and 29.
Great.
Accept those minutes. Everyone happy?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Right. Now we come to the declaration of interest. I have to read this bit out. To disclose the existence and nature of any disclosable pecuniary interest, other pecuniary interests, or non-pecuniary interests relating to items of business on the agenda having regard to paragraphs 6 to 8, inclusive of the Code of Conduct for members. And I have to remind members that should they become aware, they are required to disclose any such interest should they become aware during the meeting. Right. Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman.
If you're going to do a declaration of interest, I hope it will be concise and it will be a requirement rather than something frivolous. So let's.
I regret to say, Chairman, it will be the opposite.
Okay.
I declare a non-pecuniary interest in item 15. As it's confidential, I will give the reasoning when we get to the confidential item.
Right. I don't know whether that's relevant, but never mind. Any other declarations of interest? Councillor Mrs. Channer.
Thank you, Chairman. Can I declare a non-pecuniary interest as a member of Essex County Council? And this is very pertinent probably to agenda item number 10. I also wish to declare an interest regarding agenda item number 15. Regarding Essex County Council member, can I say if a matter does take in anything from Essex, it will cover that. But regarding agenda item number 15, I wish to make a declaration of an interest. Can I do it now, or do I have to wait as it's confidential? I thought I declared in the public part, but I will take...
You've done your declaration, that's fine.
I've got a different declaration to agenda item number 15. In public?
Yes, as long as it doesn't reveal any of the content.
Well, that's...
That's why Councillor Savage is probably... You can declare it in the private part of the meeting.
Okay, as long as that's okay.
Because I don't want it revealed.
It will be recorded at that part of the meeting.
We'll make sure they're recorded.
Thank you.
Councillor Pratt.
Chairman, good evening. Item 10, Chairman, as a visiting councillor.
Thank you. Any other declarations of interest? No, that's good. Thank you very much. We now have public questions, and I understand there are none. Thank you. Right, we now come to a pleasant item number 7, which is to present a long service award to Richard Holmes. Now, before I make the presentation, I'd just like to say a few words, a little bit of history. Richard Holmes joined the Malden District Council on the 25th of July 1977, aged 16, as a tracer in the technical department. He then took building studies exams over a number of years. In October 94, he became the facilities manager. During 1997, he passed his certificate in management exams. In September 2006, he became head of leisure and livability. And in June 14, Richard was promoted to Director of Customers and Community. Richard has been at these offices so long, he has witnessed and had a hand in much of the building changes that were here, where various parts were demolished and then removed and put back. I'm not sure if this is what was meant by transformational change. Those who know Richard will know he is a sucker for procuring off-road vehicles for the council. We're not quite sure which manufacturer, although I'm pretty sure. No sooner do the vehicles arrive than they are festooned with as many flashing lights, aerials, winches and tow hitches as they will take. It is also a little known fact that his own personal fleet of 4x4 off-road vehicles is bigger than the council's and nearly as large as the British Army. On many occasions over the decades, Richard has been called into action in times of emergency, and he played a key role in the council's emergency planning team. This emergency service not only entails the delivering of sandbags in times of flooding to residents of the district, amongst other peacetime duties, but also delivering agenda packs to members when they are flooded or snowed in, unable to attend evening meetings. His expertise in this work also led him to help found the Essex Search and Rescue. Worth noting that during his time at MDC, he has lived through 20 chairmen, 20 leaders, 7 chief executives, and 7 prime ministers. On a serious note, Richard is a major asset to the council. He is always willing to step up and assist on any subject. His tenure here has armed him with a huge amount of knowledge and experience which he calls upon effectively to manage his director in a calm, professional and supportive way. He also makes a major contribution as a member of our corporate leadership team. Richard is thoroughly committed to all things Malden, and we are lucky that he has committed his career to our council. Thank you very much indeed. Now we've got
said a few words.
Yes, if you'd like to first, and then we'll give you a little gift in a minute.
Thank you very much. 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to keep it under 15 minutes. Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your kind words and the gifts.
I've been giving some thought on what to say after 40 years service at the council. I don't think I would have believed back in 1977 when I arrived here on my first day, as a tracer who explained, that I would still be here 40 years later and running most of the council's frontline services. The journey to today has been at times challenging but mostly rewarding. I've been given some great opportunities during my time here, and some highlights have been assisting people through emergency planning, as you heard, being part of a team delivering the Malden Prom Fantasias and other events such as Midnight Manoeuvres and latterly Saltmarsh 75. Procuring the new leisure and waste contracts as I transition from Head of Service Director, we're also testing times. Perhaps the most challenging and most rewarding project was livability, a great opportunity to really shape our district, but up against incredibly short timescales and at times strong opposition. In that connection as front man for the project, I would always be grateful for the personal support given to me by Councillor Boyce and at the time Councillor Mrs. Peel. Malden District Council has always provided a good service to its residents, and that is entirely because of both the efforts of the staff and members of this authority. And after 40 years of public service, I'm proud to say I do work for Malden District Council.
Can we take one, then we'll do it down there. So it's a bit big.
Well, I have great pleasure in presenting these gifts to you. Grateful thanks for all your service.
Thank you very much.
Just want to.
Okay.
You want to have everyone in front of the.
That's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you want to put on the back? Afterwards, you can.
Yeah, we do that.
Right, you can open them. I could try.
It's got to
open at the end of the meeting.
I'll tell you what's in the box.
You know what's in the box.
I know what's in the box. So shall we have any now? Shall we have them again?
Yes.
Okay.
I think one of them's a model Land Rover, but I might be one of those electric controlled ones.
Nearly was. There are other types of four-by-four
trailers. Right. Okay. Now we'll continue with my announcements at 7:57. I should have a list here. Have I got a list of duties first? Yeah, I've been on a number of visits this month. It hasn't been quite so busy. I'd first of all like to thank the Vice Chairman for representing me on a number of occasions, I think on at least four or five, which I was very grateful. And I'm also grateful to Councillor Boyce, who kindly represented the Chairman at the funeral of the Right Reverend John Rule. There's been some quite interesting events. I enjoyed the presentation of the portrait on the retirement of the Lord Lieutenant. And right at the other end of the spectrum, I had a very pleasant welcome in the village of Steeple at their vintage gathering. So all in all, it's been quite a busy month. And I think nearly everything that I've done has been sent to you on a weekly basis. So you've had some photographs and everything else. Right. The other thing I would just like to mention, and I think so far I have been fairly lenient with you as regards the rules, but I would like to mention Rule 8, yeah. Which brackets 4, just a reminder that the limit of speaking is 5 minutes for a proposer and 3 minutes for any other speaker. And also this question of coming back for a second go. There is only, apart from some complicated issues with amendments and things like that, the two basic reasons for coming back is on a point of order, and that means that there is something wrong with the procedure, and you've got to be ready to tell me what the procedure, where the procedure is wrong and what rule has been broken. And the other one is if you feel that you haven't had your the comments you've made have not been properly explained by, and you wish to give some further explanation because you felt someone hasn't been fully understood. And that really is it. And there isn't provision for supplementary questions. There isn't provision for what's the other favourite one? Points of clarification. There's no mention of this in the Black Book at all. So I think we'd just like to sort of clear that up and try and I'm still happy to be lenient, but I just don't want it to get totally out of hand. So shall we proceed with agenda with agenda item 8? For the benefit of the tape, that was Councillor Sismi who was laughing. To deal with the recommendations of the committees for decision by the council, and that is on page 37. And this is a report for council. Councillor Sismi, it's your committee, and I think there's a recommendation perhaps you put at 322 on page 37.
I think this is quite straightforward, and I promise you, Chairman, I'm only going to speak once on it. This is just a recommendation that the probation policy and procedure, which is attached on the following pages, is approved. This is pretty much a straightforward updating of the policy to reflect current HR standards and has been agreed with Unison as set out. So hopefully members can agree that recommendation.
Agreed. Thank you very much. We then go on over the page to note the minutes of meetings of committees. Do you note those? The minutes reported to the last meeting, minutes published, and minutes not finalised for publication. Right. We now come to agenda item 9, which is questions in accordance with procedure rule 6, and I believe there are none. Thank you very much. Item 10, which is on page 51, is to receive a report from the Chief Executive regarding Essex Vision. Leader, would you like to present this? Or
thank you, Chairman. I will actually defer to the Chief Executive, but before I do, perhaps for clarity, Chairman, if that's allowed at this stage, 3.1, perhaps the Chief Executive, during her presentation, could confirm who these partners are. Thank you, Chairman. I'll defer.
Thank you, Chief Executive.
Thank you, Chairman. So this document and vision has been compiled, I think that the work kicked off in 2016, and the Essex Partners group were the organisation that kicked it off. Essex Partners includes a whole range of bodies, so it's the police, the health service, the county council, district cities and boroughs, and voluntary sector and so on. So the aim of the Essex Partners is really about trying to get us to work more collaboratively across Essex, and has to, I think it admitted to itself it wasn't working as well as it should have done. So they decided to look at this idea about generating a vision to unite us and try and get us to understand what our community were most interested in us addressing. And they engaged across all corners of Essex. So they had local people of all ages and backgrounds, community groups, schools, public organisations, voluntary sector, public and private sector leaders. I know that I was interviewed. Our locality board had a presentation on the subject. And they collected views on what all of those different stakeholders thought was important about Essex. So important point to make here is this is not an Essex County Council strategy. It's been presented this morning to Essex leaders and chief executives, and that point was made very clearly. I think the risk is that if people think it's Essex County Council strategy, it's not necessarily collaborative. It's important that we aim to work and unite across the whole system, and that's really the purpose of this document. So having done the work, they had the assistance of Essex Partners had assistance of consultants to consolidate the information, and they pulled this together into this vision document, and there are a range of ambitions and priorities included within it. It's been subject to consultation, and it is now presented and it goes forward as it stands. So really it's for noting, but the important thing I think is that is for us to understand what this document is trying to achieve. From my experience, Essex can certainly improve its approach to working collaboratively, and I think, as we said this morning, it's up to us as system leaders to get our staff, our community, to understand the benefits of us working as a whole rather than working disjointedly. So there's going to be an Essex Assembly middle of September. A range of Essex leaders from all different public sector organisations are going along, voluntary sector, members of the community, to try and get buy-in to this and ask them to start spreading the word and buying hearts and minds behind this vision, with a view to hopefully getting us to work more collaboratively in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Accept the report? You're asked to note it. Oh, Councillor Sisme.
I mean, I'd love to accept the report, and I'm all for collaborative working, but I don't think we should just accept it blindly without kind of accepting at least there was an enormous amount of guff in it. I mean, I don't know quite. I mean, first of all, this Brace and Perry quote at the beginning is just kind of lazy stereotyping, and I think probably he should stick to ceramic vases and cross-dressing rather than commenting on what Essex is kind of famous for. We then got various kind of bizarre comments which talk about Essex people being arrogant, which is rather strange. And I don't understand why we're calling our constituents arrogant, which is one of the descriptions in here. We have strange comments like Essex is many places, a haven for wildlife, self-made millionaires, social housing, and everything in between. I mean, I'm not sure what counties there are in England which don't have wildlife, self-made millionaires, and social housing. I mean, this stuff is just, as you read it, kind of page by page, it is just full of sound bites and guff. And then actually even the targets is kind of motherhood and apple pie. I mean, no one can disagree with it, but none of it is actually measurable. And so I'm all for kind of the principle of this in many ways, but I do think that when this kind of material is produced, it's just, you know, it just doesn't serve any real purpose at all.
I think we need to point out there's not an Essex County Council booklet. It's been done by a group of people. It's not actually County Council. So we can't blame the County Council for it. But your comments are noted. Anybody else made to make any comments?
Agree.
Thank you very much. Right. Now we go to agenda item 11, the making of the Burnham on Crouch Neighbourhood Plan Development Plan on page 73. Leader.
Thank you, Chairman. Before I hand over to the Chief Executive to present the report, can I just start by paying tribute to all of those that were involved in this neighbourhood plan, and in particular Ian Sisterson, Chairman, who sadly passed away 14 months ago, who was very, very instrumental in bringing this forward, and I only wish he could have been here tonight to see it adopted. Thank you, Chairman.
Chief Executive.
So the report, members, sets out the background to the Burnham Neighbourhood Plan. You'll have seen the papers that have come before talking about the consultation and the fact that it went through examination. It was then subject to a referendum on the 20th of July, and you'll see the report, the results in the report, a significant majority in favour of accepting the plan for their locality. To take this forward, the plan effectively has to be made by this district council. So this is what the report this evening is asking for your approval for, and then effectively it will become one of the planning policies for consideration for applications for the Burnham area.
Thank you very much. Councillor Pratt, did you want to say anything? I know you were involved with this.
Thank you, Chairman. I think it's all been said. I was grateful to the Deputy Leader to mention Ian Sisterson, who, along with a lot of other people, was one of the mainstays of the neighbourhood plan. It stumbled at the beginning, and we finished up with asking groups to form groups of everybody that was involved in the town. So we actually had 30 groups representing all the groups. And that was over the 4 years that it took, slowly distilled to half a dozen stalwart people that just did the hard graft. It wasn't without difficulty. However, I think the resounding support that the residents of Burnham have shown, I can only commend that the council make this neighbourhood plan. Thank you, Chairman.
Do you want to speak, Councillor Fettner? Councillor Brian Harker.
Thank you, Chairman. I just don't quite, in the recommendation number 2 on page 73,
that the council makes the Burnham Town Neighbourhood Development Plan. I don't know why it makes. Shouldn't it be a dots or? I don't understand why we use the use of the word makes. I've never seen
it. It's according to the statute. Chairman, the terminology is arises from the legislation and the statutory guidance. It's not a word that we choose. It's a word that we have to use to properly make it.
Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. I'd like to congratulate, first of all, the Deputy Leader on his promotion to Leader. But on a more serious note, does the neighbourhood plan now conform to the core issues of the LDP now that it has actually been passed?
The answer is yes, but I'm sure you'll answer it. Yes. Chief Executive?
Yes, it does. The LDP effectively is sovereign, but this document does accord with our local development plan.
Thank you. Councillor Boyce.
Thank you, Chairman. Tributes are paid to those that saw this through. I believe I'm right that Councillor Pratt was one of the main instigators and workers on this, certainly as he was with when he was mayor. So I think that ought to be acknowledged, and probably Mrs. Stamp was another one, as the Deputy Leader stated, there were several others, but from my knowledge, those other two were certainly very active in this.
Yeah, I'm sure that we'll have the names of those people recorded in the minutes. Any other questions on this item? Okay, thank you very much. Now, the next item is questions to the Leader. In accordance with Procedure Rule 1.3. Oh, I'm so sorry, yes. I mean, everyone agreed to accept that, didn't they?
Yeah.
So since actually agreed to make it. Jolly good. Thank you. Sorry, I'm in such a rush to go on to this next item. Questions to the Leader of the Council in accordance with Procedure Rule 1.3. We are only allowed 10 minutes for this whole of this procedure, so if you want several questions given and answered, I suggest they're brief, and I'm not prepared to accept statements. Councillor Savage, let's get you first. Get you out of the way.
Well, I thank you, but Councillor White was really before me.
Oh, very well. Councillor Miss White, you go first then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Councillor Savage. What I would like to ask you, so a leader, is do you think that there is a risk to Malden District Council following the recent upper tier tribunal ruling by His Honour Judge Shanks relating to freedom of information requests and the way they are handled by the authority?
Thank you, Chairman. Up to September, there are risks always attached to both the decisions of ICO and the way in which we handle with them. For the benefit of members, I will be meeting with the Leader and the Chief Executive and the Director of Resources to discuss this appeal decision. Thank you, Chairman.
Now, Councillor Savage.
Thank you, Chairman. Could the Leader give us some indication as to when the final draft of the LGA peer report will be here, and will the LGA be giving us a presentation so we can hold them to account?
Leader, please.
Thank you, Chairman. I understand from the leader that he is speaking with the LGA peer review team and that he is going through a process at the moment for bringing the peer review team to Melbourne District Council for that exact purpose. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Dobson.
Thank you, Chairman. To the leader, I think it's been over a year now since the Aquila site in Morden has been cleared, which I believe is going to bring massive benefits economically and socially to the district. I wonder if we could have an update on where it is.
Leader. Thank you, Chairman. There has been issues with this site over the last 4 to 6 weeks. I'm pleased that there's been a very satisfactory intervention from the leader's office and the leader himself, who is in fact the divisional member for this particular area. But nevertheless, he has used his contacts at Essex County Council to move this forward, and I apologise to the divisional member. But I am pleased to say, Chairman, and announce to Council that Aquila Developments have confirmed that they will be starting work on this site on the 25th of September, and that all works will be practically completed by the middle of August 2018. This will add to the retail mix of Morden, and it's anticipated to bring 200 jobs. So I'm very pleased to be able to say that all of the outstanding planning issues have now been settled and that we are now going to proceed with this project. Thank you.
Any other questions of the Deputy Leader? Councillor Beale, sorry, I've got you on my list. Beg your pardon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was rather disappointed this morning to read in the newspaper.
About all the information concerning supposedly St Peter's Hospital. We've been a leading force in asking questions and resolving this. So what are we going to do, or what is the council going to do in respect of finding out the information that has been suggested in the newspapers and actually make a proper report so we can debate the situation in council?
Thank you, Chairman. I think something of a piece of history there. The Leader of the Opposition and the Deputy Leader, both from the same group, asking a civil question. How nice is that? Councillor Beale, I understand from Councillor Pudney that there's been yet another meeting today where there seems to be other ideas coming onto the table. I am as frustrated as you and the rest of the members at the speed in which this project moves, but I am satisfied that the Chief Executive is doing all that she possibly can to bring this forward, and in that process she is being supported by our two MPs and indeed the members here and all of the officers. If there are any further updates, we will make sure you and all of the members receive them. Thank you.
You want to do it now?
No, I think that's fine.
Okay. Any other questions? No? Jolly good. Right. Thank you very much indeed. Now, I think, before we go on to item 13, I think the press might want to know what's in these presents. So I think we ought to have the present opening now. And can I just say, while Mr. Holmes is coming down to open these presents, that you may be noticing that I'm missing the chain. I've got the badge. The badge has been away and been redone, but the chain is not quite ready yet, but that will be back, and it's been regilded, and it's had the update of all the names on it. But we managed to get this back in time for tonight. It only came back this morning.
Well, this feels like Christmas. There's something wrong here.
That's all right. Well, the box is Land Rover colour, isn't it? Olive green. The recording is still on, Mr. Chairman. Goodness me!
Totally intended model, but really nice.
Oh, spare wheel.
That's some expensive. No, stop. That's a
dedicated. Oh,
yeah. See me.
Well done.
Is it
Shades of shades of what's his name?
Cash.
Made in China.
I promised myself many, many years ago, and I've seen a very good opportunity to take up my hobby.
Okay. Right, well, we'll go back to the agenda, please. Business by reason of special circumstances considered by the chairman to be urgent, there are none. Item 14 is to resolve that under section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the public be excluded from the meeting for the following item of business, which is a Lice Hay League update, whatever that, I'm not sure of the pronunciation. Lice Hay League. Following item of business, that it is, involves likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in paragraphs 1, 2 and 7 of part 1 of Schedule 12A to the Act, and this satisfies the public interest test. Can I have a proposer, please? Seconder? All those in favour, please show by hand. Everyone. More or less, thank you very much. June.